This morning, go to 1 John chapter 4. Is where we will start as far as opening. And then after you find 1 John chapter 4, if you'll find Isaiah chapter 41. So 1 John chapter 4 and then Isaiah chapter 41. All right, if you're at 1 John chapter 4, say amen. By the way, I know you're there. If you haven't found 1 John chapter 4 yet, just pretend like you have. Just teasing. But anyway, 1 John chapter 4, and we verses 17 and 18, and then we'll pray, and then we'll go to Isaiah 41. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And let's pray. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time together this morning. Thank you for the specials that we heard. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to minister to our hearts, continue to draw us closer to you. Lord, as always, I pray that you would help us to hear from heaven today. Give us ears to hear. Help us, Father, to understand the things that you speak to our hearts about, and help us, Lord, to apply them to our lives. Father, I pray that you speak to the hearts of the children in junior church as always, Lord. Open up their understanding of the Bible lessons. Help the Word of God to take root in their hearts, to bring, Lord, them to the day of their salvation. They would come to a time and a place where they understand that Jesus Christ lay down his life for them, and that he loves them so much he wants them to believe in him. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to help them to grow in their faith as well. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time. Thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together in the Lord's house. Father, we do not want to play church. We don't want to go through the motions. We seriously, Father, want to hear from you. So I ask, Lord, that you would allow your spirit to fall fresh upon us this morning. I pray that you would be with us in a very special way and that you would minister to us. And Father, we would walk away knowing that we've been in the presence of God. We have been in the presence of our Lord and Savior. And Father, it testifies within our hearts because we have joy in our heart. Because the Bible does tell us that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And we thank you for it. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, talking about trusting, choosing to trust the one who is trustworthy. I want you to go ahead and go to Isaiah 41, because Isaiah 41 and verse 10 is really where this message is taken from today. But I wanted to read 1 John chapter 4 to remind us, as John does, "Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." You know, when you come to know and you come to learn and you continue to learn about the love of God in your life, there really is nothing to fear. When you come to learn that your eternity is secure in Jesus Christ, there's nothing to fear about death. There's nothing to fear about the future. When you read the Bible and you just see the love of God over and over again, even with God's own people who would time and time again, they would live for the Lord, they'd walk with the Lord, but then they would slowly drift away and they would start doing their own things and serving false gods, and God would allow hardships to come into their life, not because he hated them, but because he loved them and was drawing them back to him. And they would cry out to the Lord and ask the Lord to save them. And the Lord always did. The Lord always heard them, always rose up a deliverer among them and brought them out of captivity, brought them out from under the hand of oppression, and would bless them. I mean, that truly is, as you learn the love of God and as you continue to experience the love of God in your life, you come to understand that God is a merciful God. He's a loving Heavenly Father, and he's one that has grace beyond measure. But he wants us to walk in the love of God. He wants us to learn to trust him, to learn to trust the one who's trustworthy. Again, in verse 18, he says, there's no fear in love. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of a sound mind, and of power. And God really does shed his love upon us each and every day. Perfect love casteth out fear. When you come to the place that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God loves you and God has grace in your life and has mercy for you, you learn to truly trust him each and every day of your life. And as it is Valentine's Day, happy Valentine's Day. Hopefully, some loved one told you they loved you or gave you a gift or something. But if they did not, at least you know that you have the greatest gift from the one who loves you the most, and that is Jesus Christ. But it was as we talk about the love of God today, it really does help us to trust him more and more. If you're there in Isaiah chapter 41, I want you to look at verse number 10. Because this morning I want us to look at and think about five promises from the one who loves you with all of his heart, the Lord God Almighty. And we need to choose to trust him each and every day because he is trustworthy. When you look at Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, Isaiah writes, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That verse right there tells us exactly how much God loves us, tells us how much he's trustworthy, and tells us how much that we can choose to trust him every day because he is our God. You notice that in the middle of that verse, he says, "For I am thy God." Just thinking about that statement, "I am thy God," the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who gave life to all the creatures, the one who has set a boundary for the waters not to pass over that. Remember, the Lord allowed a great flood in the days of Noah that totally drowned the entire earth. It killed all living creatures except for Noah and his family that were on the ark. And God said that he would never allow that to happen again, that he would keep his promise through that rainbow. He would not take life again through a global flood. And when you look at this verse, "I am thy God," hopefully this morning you woke up at least with some thought at some point that God loved you. At some point this morning you thought about just the awesomeness of your God. You thought about how much he loves you and the fact that you get to go and worship him today. Nobody was twisting your arm. Hopefully nobody was twisting your arm to come to the Lord's house, but you came because you have a love for the one who loves you so much. Again, this morning, I want us to think about the five promises that are in this verse alone. "Fear thou not." Again, John says that perfect love casteth out fear. There's no fear in love. When you know that the Lord is your Savior, and you know the Lord is on your side, there really is no more fear in your life. Now, it doesn't mean the devil won't try to tempt you with fear, but you know that God loves you, and you know the devil's a liar, and you know that you have a place reserved for you in God's kingdom. How many of you know that and believe that, that God has a place prepared for you, and you're looking forward to seeing that place? Again, it's just another testimony that God loves you because he went to prepare a place for you. Well, I want you to take your Bible, stay in Isaiah, but go to Psalm 34. Psalm chapter 34, as we think about the fact that God says, "I am with ye." The first promise we see in Isaiah is God saying, "I am with thee." What a wonderful promise that is. We know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. But just to hear the Lord say, "I am with thee." Wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever's going on, we have this promise because God loves us. Again, you probably have had people in your lifetime leave you, said they loved you and they left you. Jesus Christ obviously experienced the same. He had someone come to him, kiss him in the garden on the cheek, and Jesus said, "Friend," He called him friend, talking about Judas Iscariot. He said, friend, betrayest thou me with a kiss? Someone that walked with him, someone that was loved by the Lord, yet betrayed him. The Lord understands that there are those that different times in our life, we will experience someone who said they loved us, yet they stab us in the back. They walk away from us. But we can trust the Lord when he says, I am with thee. In Psalm 34, if you look at verse number 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Just reminds us of the wonderful fact that God has a hedge of protection around us. God is with us. Every step of the way, everywhere you go, there's a hedge of protection around you. And it reminds us of God's love. I can't help but to think about Elisha when he was surrounded by the army, the enemy army, and his servant came out and he was scared to death. He was fearful. And he told his master Elisha, what do we do? What are we going to do? We're surrounded. And Elisha had no fear whatsoever. There are times in your life where the devil wants to grip you with fear so that your focus and your heart, or your mind and your heart, are off focus. You're not focused on the Lord. You're not trusting the Lord. Because when there's sudden fear, when something suddenly happens, man, that can just totally take your attention away from the Lord, especially if it's a near-death experience, an almost head-on collision, something that just startles you and something that takes your attention off of the one who loves you and who is protecting you. And the fact that Elijah comes out and he sees the multitude of the army, he sees the host that's there to take him, that is totally against him, yet he didn't fear one bit. In fact, he asked the Lord to open the eyes of the servant. And the servant's eyes were spiritually opened, and he saw that the heavenly host was encamped around Elisha and that there was nothing to fear. There are times in our life where we need the Lord to really open our spiritual eyes so that we can see that the heavenly host is encamped around us, that God truly is before us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, when you think about Hebrews chapter 13, take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to have you turn to a lot of scripture this morning. You can either take notes or turn with me, but when you think about just the wonderful truth of God's love and you think about the promises that are in his word, sometimes it does us good to set our eyes upon the word of God, to allow the eye gate, to allow the word of God to go through the eye gate, to go down into the heart. In Hebrews chapter 13, you look at verse 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such sayings as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that God will never leave you nor forsake you? Now, how many of you you've experienced God leaving you and forsaking you? That's contradictory, isn't it? God's never left you. Now, there may have been times where you felt like God wasn't there, but God was still there. Because God promised he'd never leave you nor forsake you. There's been times in my life where I didn't feel the presence of God. I didn't hear the voice of God. But I know that he was still there because his promise stands sure. And there are times in our life where God will be silent. He'll allow himself to seem like he's distanced from us so that we will search after him, so that we will seek him, so we'll call upon him. But he promised that he is. I am with thee. He's not going anywhere. In verse 6 of Hebrews 13, it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord's my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Not fearing anything, anybody, any situation, because we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What a wonderful statement that should come out of our lips and be really fixed within our hearts. The Lord is my helper. Even when I don't understand, even when I just don't understand what's going on, even if it feels like, you know, life is bombarding me, the devil's attacking me, yet I know the Lord is my helper. I know that he will help me out of this. When you read through the book of Psalms and you read the Psalms of David, many of his Psalms start off basically with the sense of David's asking God, why aren't you helping me? It seems like the enemy is surrounding me. It seems like the enemy is is getting the upper hand. But then in the middle of his Psalms, he'll turn the focus back to the Lord and start praising the Lord. And by the time you get to the end of his Psalm, he's thanking the Lord for delivering him. He's thanking the Lord for coming through. And I'm glad that God understands our frame is but dust. He understands, you know, the way that we think. And sometimes we see the problem before we see the deliverer. Sometimes we're looking down instead of looking up, and the Lord just waits. And then when we finally look up, the Lord says, all right, it's done. And he comes to our rescue. The fact is that God is with us, and what a wonderful thing. The Lord says, I am with thee. That's exactly, go back to Isaiah. If you don't have a finger there, go back to Isaiah 41. Remember, that's exactly what God told Moses when Moses asked, who did I say sent me? Because Moses knew the people were going to ask, well, who gave you this authority? Who sent you to us? And the Lord simply said, tell them, I am that I am. I sent you. What a wonderful God that we have, a wonderful God that loves us. And his promises stand sure. He said in verse number 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Wonderful, said, fear thou not. And we'll go on with the other promises, but think about just those three words that God says, fear thou not. Fear thou not. Often Jesus would tell his disciples, and he would tell others as well, fear not. Fear not. When Gabriel came to Mary and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, he said, fear not. When God spoke to the disciples when they were scared on that sea, the winds were blowing, the storm was raging, he said, fear not. When he came walking on the water and the disciples were scared, he said, fear not. Often you'll hear the voice of God in your life say, fear not. There are things in our life that will cause us to become afraid, will cause us to become anxious, will cause us to start doubting. And God's given us of his Spirit in our life to help remind us of his promises and to help remind us, fear not, for I am with thee. When you look back at Isaiah 41 and verse 10, he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Be not dismayed. I want you to think about the fact that God says, I am with thee. And he goes on to say, for I am thy God. He says, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am with thee, and I am thy God. Look at Psalm 27 with me. Psalm 27. And not only is he our God, and he is with us, that is something we have to remind ourselves of every day. And this morning, it's honestly, when we're sitting in church, it's the easiest thing. And if you're like me, you might be thinking, I know that. I know God's with me. I know there's nothing to fear. But how often do we get caught off guard? How often are we, I'll say, sucker punched by the devil? Just out of nowhere, we're not expecting it. And then something happens and we start to fear. We start to doubt. Again, the Bible does tell us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities. We wrestle against the darkness of this world, the evilness, the devil just always trying, always trying to draw our hearts away from the Lord. If he can't do it with pride, he'll do it, you know, with fear. I mean, whatever he can do. Again, this morning, you may not be struggling with this, and you may be a strong Christian that, you know, Just like Job, I may not see the Lord in front of me, to the left, to the right, behind me, but I know he knows. I know that he sees me, and we know that. Again, still reminding ourselves that we still have to choose to trust, because there are times where we will kind of choose to lean upon our own understanding. We'll choose to kind of go our own way. Again, when you think about the disciples, and I'll read Psalm 27 in a minute, but you think about disciples, twice they were on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm. How many of you love taking tests? How many of you loved high school? How many of you loved algebra? Okay, we got some strange folks in here raising their hands. right? But let me ask you, were you ever allowed to retake the test if you failed it? Oh, no. In my case, the teachers always had a grin writing an F on my paper. At least that's what I thought. They always enjoyed seeing me suffer through a test and failing that test. When you think about God, when we fail a test, he sends us through the test again. Because he wants us to get victory, not just over the test, not just over the circumstance or the situation, but he wants us to pass in our faith. He wants us to learn to trust from the get-go. And when you think about the disciples, when they were on the Sea of Galilee one time, Jesus in the boat with them, the storm is raging, the boat's filling up with water, and they're trying their best in their own strength to get the water out of the boat, to get the boat back to land. I mean, they're just doing everything they possibly can. And then when they come to the end of themselves and they're exhausted, they're tired, how many understand that usually when you are exhausted, you're tired, you're at the end of your rope. Sometimes your emotions can get the best of you. Sometimes you can be testy towards people and not meaning to, but you know, get short-tempered and kind of snap at people. And that's exactly what the disciples did. They snapped at Jesus when they were at the end of their rope and they were tired of trying their best to get out of the storm. They snapped at Jesus and said, "Carest thou not? Don't you care, Lord?" Totally forgetting that if he didn't care, he wouldn't have been with them in the boat. If he didn't care, he wouldn't have chosen them and said, "Follow me." If he didn't care, he would not be a part of their life. Never forget that Jesus Christ does care for you and he loves you. When you think about Psalm 27 in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" If you really believe that the Lord is the light of your life and he is your salvation, what's there to fear? "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Understand, as David writes this, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" He's saying, who do I need to fear? What do I need to fear? Because God is the light. He shines in my life. He shows me the way. He's my deliverer. He's my redeemer. He is my salvation. "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I mean, these are not, when David says "is," I mean, he is making a statement. He's not questioning it. He's not, you know, half-hearted about it. He says, "The Lord is my light." Because how many of you understand, reading the life of David in Scripture, we understand David didn't have the best life. I mean, he had a good life. I mean, he was anointed the second king of Israel. But his life was full of hardships. His life, he had trials just like we do. In fact, when you read through the Scriptures, you're not going to find a single person, man or woman, who doesn't live life the way that we do. But they all have one thing in common, like you and I have in common, and that was their resolve to trust the Lord. Even when they failed, yet they would still trust him as the Lord would come to them and deliver them and speak to their hearts. Look at John. Go to John chapter 10, if you would. Again, thinking about just the promise of the Lord that says, "I am with thee and I am thy God." Always remembering that God is your God. He's not just a God, but he is your God. He's someone that you can trust. He's someone that is trustworthy. He is someone who has already proven himself faithful in your life. In John chapter 10, you look at verse 27 and 28. Jesus here speaking. What a wonderful, wonderful reminder this is. And remember, in Sunday school, we looked at 2 Peter, and we looked at the fact that Peter said, "I remind you of these things. I bring these things into remembrance." And as the Lord speaks to us this morning, he reminds us in verse 27 of John chapter 10, "My sheep," that's you and me, "hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, if we know without a shadow of a doubt that we can trust the Lord, and he says that no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. You can't even jump out of the Father's hand. Once sealed, always sealed. Once saved, always saved. Once a child of God, always a child of God. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Do you hear the voice of God in your life? Did you hear the voice of God this morning as you read your Bible? Did you hear the voice of God yesterday? You know, when you think about Mary in the garden at the empty tomb, she went there to anoint the body of Christ, and the tomb was empty. Didn't understand what was going on, thought someone stole the body. She's weeping uncontrollably, crying so much that she turns and assumes the man standing there is the gardener and says, where have you taken his body? I mean, she loves the Lord so much, she is disturbed that someone would steal the body of Christ. And as she's weeping and as she's waiting for an answer, the only answer she gets is her name. Have you ever questioned God in your life? Have you ever been at a moment in your life where you just didn't understand? Maybe you are crying. Maybe you're upset. Maybe you're just pressed out of measure. You just don't understand, and you're asking God questions. And maybe all he said was your name. Because you're reading the scripture, the man that she thought was the gardener said, Mary, Mary. Just said her name. And when you read scripture, she says, Rabboni, Master. That's all she needed to hear was her name. She'd heard her name many times with other people, but it's different when your Savior says your name. It's different when Jesus says, Troy. It gets your attention, but when he says it, it's filled with love. It's filled with compassion. It's filled with, it's okay. Trust me. I'm here. I haven't left you. There are times where the Lord only says your name, and there's so much compassion and love in the way that he says it. The Lord, our exit in verse John 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What's there to fear if nothing and no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand? No situation can cause the Father to drop us or neglect us. Again, Scripture tells us over and over again that God is our God. He is always there. He's the one protecting us. He's the one who has his eye upon us, watching our every step. And the Bible even tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When we fall, he's the one that lifts us up. I want you to go back, if you would, to Isaiah 41. Maybe if you haven't, I'm going to do this right now. Keep a finger in Isaiah 41 as we bounce around. But Isaiah 41, if we look at the third promise that he gives us in verse number 10, he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. The Lord says that he will strengthen us. Now, sometimes it's a physical strength. Sometimes it's a mental strength. Sometimes it's an emotional strength, a spiritual strength. Whatever you need, God can give you that strength. God can give you that strength. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't try living this life in your own strength. Now, if you want to be honest this morning, how many of you have tried living this life in your own strength? And I'll just raise my hand, because honestly, as a human, we tend to do that. We tend to default to, you know, our human instincts. We tend to, you know, try to do things in our own strength, and someone may even say, well, God gave you a brain, just use it. Yeah, but the brain he gave us was to be used to think about, you know what, God's strength is far better than my strength. God's grace is better. God can help me through any situation. And when you think about, I always default to the life of Job. I always look at Job and think about a man who loved the Lord, who feared the Lord, who walked with God, but he found himself in a very hard trial. He found him in a place that he never thought he'd find himself in. Alone, his children are gone, everything he had's taken, his wife is upset, she's lost her children, he's sitting in dust and ashes. I mean, he is boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I mean, he's just, life is miserable. Never thought he would be in a place like this. Yet God saw him through it. God walked him through it. I mean, in the beginning, Job is saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, he's got a right heart. But God understands that as the trial goes on and on, though we start off right with a right heart, with the right attitude and the right frame of mind, yet as the devil continues to throw his fiery darts at us and just continues to pick on us and continues to attack us, and we'll even use friends, as Job had his friends come and sit with him for a few days and they started attacking him. Started saying, well, you know, if you really were living right, then this wouldn't have happened. You must have done something wrong. God doesn't love you. God's mad at you. And just all those things just surmounting upon him and just weighing heavy upon them. What happens? Though Job was a man who loved God and feared God, a man who prayed to the Lord, a man who prayed for his children, a man who did everything right, said the right things, yet he found himself in a place where he was cursing the day that he was born, telling God, you messed up. You should have never given me this life. I don't want to go through this trial. And yet it's the very trial that God wanted Job to go through. It's the very trial that God was showing his love for Job. And sometimes we don't view trials like that. Sometimes we view, well, if God really loves me, then he won't allow this. God will take this problem away. But it's the problems that God wants to use to show his love and to draw us to him and to show his strength and his grace in our life. I mean, if you're like me, man, I want to have days where there's never a problem. No car problem, no dishwasher problem, no furnace problem, no employment problem, no bank problem, no tax problem. Just everything is just perfect. And guess what? One day it will be like that. When we get to heaven, then there'll be no problems. But on this side of heaven, the problems are a proven ground for us to continue to learn the love of God and to continue to trust the Lord, to continue to remember that he is my God, he is with me, and he will use this to strengthen me spiritually. In Philippians 4:13, we're reminded, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's a number one thing that you and I have to remind ourselves when we're faced with any situation, that God is allowing this situation because he wants to do something great in my life. He wants me to continue to experience his love. He wants me to continue to learn to trust him and to be reminded of the fact that he is trustworthy because he's brought me this far in my life and he's not going to leave me now. And whatever it is I'm facing, I can face it with the strength of Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When you look back at Isaiah chapter 41, you look at verse 10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. It says, I will help thee. How many of you believe that God really will help you no matter what's going on in your life? How many of you have learned? You have testimony, you have experiences in your life that, oh, I know God's going to help me. I just hope he helps me quick, right? Lord, don't let any time go by. Lord, it's been 30 seconds. I know you're going to help me, so let's do it right now, right? But again, he likes to stretch our faith. How many of you learned that God loves stretching you like a rubber band? But praise the Lord, he's not going to let you snap. Like you may have snapped rubber bands in your life. Have you ever stretched a rubber band to see how far you can stretch it before it breaks? The Lord doesn't do that. He's not stretching us to see if he can break us. He's stretching us to strengthen our faith. He's stretching us for us to see that, you know what, he's faithful. He never stretches you more than what you can bear. Though sometimes we feel like it's too much. Lord, it's too much. But God loves you so much that he knows exactly how much pressure to put into your life so that you and I will grow in our faith and grow in our trust with him and grow in our love with him and continue to learn that he really does love us beyond measure. I want you to take your Bibles, go to Psalm chapter 121. Just a few more minutes. Psalm 121. And I want you to look at verses 1 and 2, and then 7 and 8. So Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, and then 7 and 8. The psalmist wrote, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Do you know what direction your help comes from? Do you know what direction to look when you need the Lord's encouragement, when you need the Lord's help? I know we've been taught this, right? That when we pray, we bow our heads and close our eyes. But have you ever looked up into the heavens and talked to the Lord? There's something different about that. I believe in reverence. I believe in bowing your head before the Lord. But there's just times where, you know what? You look up and you just talk to the Lord because you know he's there. It's just something different about it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You know what? If you're trusting the one that made heaven and earth, you're trusting the one that has all power. And how did he make heaven and earth? Simply by speaking the word. Simply by speaking the word, he made heaven and earth. It's his word that encourages us. It's his word that gives us direction, gives us hope, reminds us of the fact that he is there. And he goes before us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 7 and 8 of the same chapter, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Reminding us that the Lord is always here to help. He is our God. He is with us. He will strengthen us and he will help us. The Lord will always help us. You know, not everybody will help us. Those that say that they will help us will fail us at times because they're human. Because not everybody is available all the time. Me as a father, I'm available for my children, but I may not always be there. I may not physically can be there. I may not physically can help them with every situation of their life. But we have a Heavenly Father who can help us with every situation. He has the answer for everything in life. And he has enough strength to give each and every one of us to help us. Again, when you think about the life of Paul, again, Paul had that thorn in the flesh. He had something he wanted God to take away, and God wouldn't take it away. Because he wanted Paul to continue trusting him. I mean, Paul was a great man of God. He was used mightily of the Lord. He was somebody that was caught up into the third heaven, the Bible tells us. He saw and heard things that others did not, other than John the Revelator, who wrote the book of Revelation, and saw wonderful things. Paul saw some wonderful things, and God allowed that thorn in his flesh. He allowed him to have this adversity in his life so that he would remain humble and continue walking with God, continue trusting the Lord, and just following the Lord wherever he led him. And Paul says those bold words, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul knew that God would help him. Paul knew that God would use that infirmity in his life to strengthen his faith and obviously to show the grace of God in his life. God says, I will help thee. And at the end of verse 10 of Isaiah 41, he says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Again, the psalmist says in Psalm 145 and verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. How many of you have come to realize that there are falls and stumbles in life? Though you're trying to run the best race that you can for the Lord and you're trying to do right, and there's trips and falls, right? Now, there's hurdles you're trying to jump over and get past, and sometimes you get caught up and sometimes you fall. But God says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall. He's there to pick us back up. He's there to walk with us. He's there to help us to keep running the race and to keep our eyes fixed upon him. He's the one that encourages us that, hey, I'm with you. I haven't left you. I'll give you the strength that you need. I'll encourage your heart. Just keep following me. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. How many of you, don't answer out loud or shake your head, just think, how many of you have ever messed up in your life and you had someone say they forgive you? And you were so thankful that they did forgive you. But maybe you've had people in your life where, you know what, they just could not find it in their heart to forgive you. And they just kind of walked away. That's someone who really doesn't love, because real love forgives and moves forward. That's really what you find with God, the one who really does love us. He's forgiven us, and he wants us to move forward. Think about Peter. I love Peter. Peter was always sticking his foot in his mouth, always saying things. He denied the Lord when he said he wouldn't. But what do you find that was faithful in Peter's life? Jesus Christ was faithful in Peter's life. Faithful to come to him after he denied him. Faithful to forgive him. Faithful to work in his life. Faithful that even when Peter walked on water and started sinking, yet Peter cried out, Lord, save me. You know, there's times in your life that's all you can do is say, Lord, help me. Sometimes you may not have, you know, a 30-minute prayer time. You may not be able to say much other than, Lord, help me. Aren't you glad that the Lord even comes to his children who simply say, Lord, help me, when we've messed up? That's a God who loves. That's a God who has so much love that he overlooks our shortcomings. Because as Peter walked on water, because Peter had the faith, and I know that you have faith as well. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Lord, if you're going to help me, if you're going to be with me, then Lord, I want to be there. And the Lord said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat. He stepped out of his comfort zone. He stepped out of what he was trusting. And he started going towards the Lord, walking on water. I don't know how far he got. But I just think that would be awesome to walk on water. I've tried doing it. I just can't do it. I've tried standing on, you know, floats in the pool, and I get a balance, and all of a sudden, you know, the floats start going this way, right? And it's like, psh, right in the water. But Peter, obviously, he started getting fearful because the storm was still raging, wasn't it? Obviously, the storm was still raging, and Peter started sinking. He got his eyes off the Lord. He allowed his heart to be overcome with fear. He starts looking around. He starts panicking. He starts sinking. But then he cries out, Lord, save me. I'm glad that God is not like man. I'm glad that the Lord didn't say, well, Peter, I can't help you. You didn't trust me. I'm glad that the Lord just, the Bible records that the Lord just lifted him up, was right there, lifted him up. You know, we have a loving Heavenly Father that's always there to lift us up. He's always there to help us. You know what? He knows when you're going to mess up. He knows when I'm going to mess up. And he's already there, ready to help. That's a loving Heavenly Father. That's someone who is trustworthy, someone that every day we can and should choose to trust, because we know that he is our God. He's always there. He'll always give me the strength. He'll always help me, and he'll always see me through it. I want you to go back to 1 John real quick, and I'll end with this. 1 John chapter 4. Right where we started, verse 17 and 18, and then we'll pray. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, "Herein is our love made perfect. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment." God doesn't want us to be tormented with fear. He wants us to be overcome with his love. "He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There is no fear in love." No fear whatsoever in love. The love of God, there's no fear in that. Go ahead and stand if you would, and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your perfect love towards us. I thank you, Lord, for the words of Christ when he said that he came to give life and to give it more abundantly. I thank you, Father, for the words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus on that night when Nicodemus came to him and Jesus said, "You must be born again." And then Jesus said, "For God so loved the world." And Lord, you really have shown us your love. You've shown us your love on Calvary as you died for our sins. You've shown us your love throughout our lifetime as you continue every day to give us another day, to allow our lungs to be filled with air, to allow our hearts to beat, to allow the blood to pump through our bodies. But Father, just every day that you give us to be able to walk with you and talk with you and to experience your grace in our life, to experience your presence in our life, the fullness of joy, the peace, all your attributes, Father, thank you so much for allowing us to experience it. As the piano begins to play, I want to give you a few moments alone in prayer.